In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The theme of the sermons of this year's Girls' Camp is marriage and motherhood. And like last year, I wanted to look this theme through the heroines of the Old Testament. And on this first day of the camp, we look into the life of Rebecca, who was the wife of Isaac. Holy Scripture describes her as a passing comely maid and most beautiful virgin. There used to live many thousands of years ago a man named Abraham. Because Abraham feared God in the land, and he lived in the land of unbelievers, God promised him that he would make him a great nation, and that one day Christ would be born from him. So Abraham and his wife Sarah had a son named Isaac when they were both very old. Eventually Isaac grew up, and before he would die, Abraham wished to see his son married to a virtuous wife. But Abraham had a big problem. He and Isaac lived in a land named Canaan, and all the girls in that land were wicked, because they were idolaters. Therefore Abraham said to a servant of his that he should go to his old home country in Haran, which was several hundred miles away. Haran was his old home, and Abraham's brother Nahor still lived there. Abraham made his servant swear by God that he would not take Isaac a wife from the daughters of the Canaanites, but instead from his own country, where they worshipped the true God. Abraham said, "Our Lord God of heaven shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take from thence a wife for my son." The ancient Hebrews, as the Catholics still do, they believed that angels were sent by God to guard men, to protect them, to lead them, and to direct them. Abraham's servant promised this. He loaded his camels and set out for his trip. When he arrived to the city of Haran, the servant let his camels rest near the well. It was the evening, about the time when the young women usually came out to draw water from the well. And when the servant was praying, he saw a beautiful young girl named Rebecca coming to the well, carrying a pitcher or tankard. You see, girls, Rebecca's mother had given her a chore to do, to go and get some water to the house. Rebecca was a diligent girl who did promptly what her mother asked. And when she was done with her chores of drawing water, she did not stay at well loitering and chatting with other girls. But instead, the scripture says that she had filled her tankard and came back. It was then when the servant of Abraham ran to meet her and asked, "Give me a little water to drink of thy tankard." And she answered him kindly, "Drink, my lord." And rapidly Rebecca let down the tankard upon her arm and gave him to drink. And when he had drunk, Rebecca said, "But for thy camels also I will draw water, till all do drink." Then she started to get water to the camels. And this was hard work, because the place for drawing water from the well was below the ground level, and one had to descend the steps to get there. And the servant had 10 camels, each of which drank a great quantity of water, which Rebecca had to carry up to the trough. The servant stayed in his place, watching Rebecca doing all this, and then he asked her, "Whose daughter art thou?" and inquired, "Was there a room in her father's house to lodge?" And Rebecca answered, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bare to Nahor. Of straw also and hay we have good store, and a large place to lodge in." The servant was excited. This girl came from her master's family. God had heard his prayer and sent to him a kind and humble girl who would be perfect match for Isaac. The servant was invited to the house where he told the message of Abraham to Laban, Rebekah's brother. Then Bethuel and Laban answered, "From our Lord the word hath proceeded. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go thy ways, and let her be the wife of thy Lord's son, as our Lord hath spoken." But the servant also said that because his master Abraham lived in Beersheba, Isaac and Rebekah would live there as well, and asked that they could leave right away. The family asked that she could stay at least 10 days, but the servant thought of his master, who was old and who was eagerly waiting his return. Her mother and brother said, "Let us call the maid and ask her will, so that Rebekah would have her word to say." Rebekah was willing to leave right away with the servant, so they sent her away with their blessing. Rebekah took her maids and followed the servant to the house of Abraham and Isaac. When they got there, and Isaac was walking along the way to the well of the living, this was the well of Agar, his stepmother, and then he saw camels coming afar off. When Rebekah saw Isaac, she descended from the camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man who cometh towards us along the field?" And the servant answered that it was Isaac. So Rebekah quickly took her cloak and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all that what had happened. Isaac took Rebekah to the tent of his mother Sarah, and he took Rebekah as her wife and loved her very much. Dear girls, in every way, this girl named Rebekah is a role model for every young girl who is considering that she might get married one day. If you wish to do so, your first duty is to know whether this is the will of God for you. And how do you know it is the will of God? You need to pray a good deal, to do good works, to take the advice of a priest, and to ask your parents. Our heroine Rebekah did all this. After the servant had seen the virtue of this girl, he made known to her who he was. On learning this, Rebekah ran back home with great joy. Note that the scripture says, "The maid therefore ran and reported into her mother's house all things that she had heard." Then her family called her to ask if she would leave their house to a new home far away. Because Rebekah heard about the oath that Abraham had made his servant to swear, and how an angel had guided him to her, she did not want to refuse, because she knew that it was the will of God that she should go and become the wife of Isaac. This narrative shows that to marry, you need to know the will of God, which means that to a married state, you need a vocation from God. Although a vocation is necessary to every state in order to live well, it is especially necessary to the holy marriage state. Notice how careful Abraham was to find his son a wife who worshipped the true God. By marrying someone of your own Catholic faith, you do not think only of your own salvation or that of your husband, but the salvation of your future children as well. The correct way to enter the married state is with a view of giving glory to God by bringing up children to be his adorers and the heirs of his kingdom. So this is the first object one should have in view of entering the married state. Making the servant to swear by God of heaven, Abraham showed that from the marriage of Isaac and his wife, the promise of God of many nations and eventually Christ would come true. Marriage then is a good state because parents do not just want children but also good children, and the more they fear God, the spouses also wish to raise their children to the true religion. I also want to mention how chaste and modest Rebecca was. When she saw Isaac, she immediately descended from her camel and covered herself. This shows her modesty and her reverence toward her spouse. This cloak which Rebecca used was kind of a summer veil, covering the whole body and leaving an opening for the eyes, covering the body and protecting it from the heats of the desert, as also being a sign of chastity and modesty. You girls are imitating Rebecca every time you enter the church and hear the Holy Mass. Rebecca covered herself because of modesty and reverence toward her spouse, and you cover yourself because of reverence to your Heavenly Father. So it is because of modesty and humility why you girls wear a veil in the church. Saint Paul writes that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man. Every woman who would pray with her head not covered is dishonoring her head. As Saint Paul says, you might as well be bald than to pray without a head covering. You girls are called traditional Catholics, and one of the reasons for that is because you follow the centuries or really millennia-old tradition. One of the few Catholic woman philosophers who is still alive, Alice von Hildebrand, once wrote these beautiful words, "And this is why the female body should be veiled, because everything which is sacred calls for veiling. Veiling indicates sacredness, and it is a special privilege of the woman that she enters the church veiled. You see, the church recognizes things so profoundly that in some way you can say she has always recognized the special dignity granted to women. You cannot be a Christian and not recognize the privilege that it is to be a woman, because the most perfect of all creatures, the only creature born without original sin, is a woman. And therefore, once again, you understand the extraordinary privilege of being one and having this image of the Holy Virgin." Weren't they beautiful words? Female body should be veiled because everything which is sacred calls for veiling. You often hear the words Mary-like modesty, and if you wish to enter into a good marriage one day, you need to prepare for it by living as pure and humble life as Our Lady did. If you live in impurity, you will find a husband like yourself. You must then live a virtuous life like Rebecca if you wish to deserve a good husband like Isaac. It is only worldly and foolish girls like the Canaanites who think that the idea of a good life is to live as merrily and luxuriously as possible. Never believe that you will be happy in a marriage which is purchased at the price of your soul. Instead, prepare for your future family life, loving, reading, and imitating the lives of the saints, because living a good, chaste, and honest life is the best way to prepare yourself for Catholic marriage and the best way to prepare yourself to heaven as well. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.